The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
For an hour or two of this show, so let me go over quickly what we've already talked about in hour one. What a sports weekend, particularly yesterday. Although my Yankees lost to the Red Sox, that's not great. But still, there was important games in baseball being played. I mention that because national shows never talk baseball. But, you know, I'm a Yankees fan. It's a sport with local following, but nationally, no. If you don't care what happens to a team in another market unless it affects your team. Not like NBA, NFL, you follow all the teams. But like that, you know, that was part of my day. How about the fact that the Lakers had a big time playoff game? How about the fact that just about every NFL team was in action? Cam Newton and Russell Wilson capping the day. Like, it was late. I had to go to sleep. I was wired. I couldn't sleep. It was like I was caffeinated. What a game. It's the best football game I've seen in a long time. Not just that it was dramatic, but it was well played. And two quarterbacks in their prime, totally elite, future Hall of Famers. That's right, I said that about Cam. If Cam stays healthy, he's going to wind up in the Hall of Fame. He needs to stay healthy. He's an MVP. He's taken the team to a Super Bowl. And when last seen under Norv Turner's offense, when Turner was the OC in Carolina, Cam was even better than he was his MVP season. I thought, certainly as a passer. Now he's healthy again. And all these teams could have had Cam Newton for peanuts, and they passed up on him. As Roy Jones would say, y'all must have forgot. Cam Newton was available? Everyone passed up on him? Cam Newton? Oh, he looked so, like, you know, his talent jumped off the screen. And he's got Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick now. It's going to be a problem. Came down to the last play. I thought Belichick would have thrown in a little wrinkle there. Not just, you know, he said, well, look, that's our best play, we thought, in that situation. We got beat. Yeah, I figured Belichick would have thrown a little wrinkle in, a little deception. You bring out a heavy package, everyone knows it's going to happen. And, you know, it's not like they don't have studs on the defense. Not just Jamal Adams, like Bobby Wagner, Jeff Schwartz. You can follow him on Twitter. Former lineman, played for the Giants toward the end of his career, has an excellent breakdown of the line play and how Bobby Wagner came up big and really was the guy who deserves the kudos on that play. But at any rate, fantastic game, terrific finish. Russell Wilson will once again this season be in the MVP conversation. He's the only one. Everyone else, all the other names change year in and year out. Sometimes Cam's name pops up as it did several years ago. Aaron Rodgers, though not last year, through half the season. No longer Brady. Mahomes will be all the time now. Lamar just won one. But the other names, three or four names, change. Maybe Josh Allen could be in it this year. Through two games, he looks really good. Maybe Drew Brees another year. The name that's there every single year, what about Russell Wilson? It'll be there again. 9 touchdowns, 1 interception, 2-0. Already got a win against a very good Patriots team, it looks like to me. Sunday. Tom Brady. I told everyone Brady would be overrated Monday morning. I told you on this show on Friday. Facing the least experienced secondary in the league. Their best player with a bad foot. A front seven not expected to get pressure. They didn't. Weapons everywhere you look. I know Godwin wasn't playing, but everywhere you look, weapons. And what happened? Brady was pedestrian. The running game, he relied on his defense and his run game, as he has over the last several years. That's why Belichick wanted to move on. It's not like a guy like that can't win you a lot of games, and even several years ago he won a Super Bowl like that. It can. It's a solid. He's an NFL quarterback, but not an elite quarterback. And given his age, Belichick was like, "Come on, let's move on." Garoppolo, who's been injury prone in his career, hurt yesterday, but when last seen in the playoffs, was in the Super Bowl with a 10-point lead. Yes, he missed Emmanuel Sanders. But boy, it comes down to one throw, and if he'd have hit him, he'd have been celebrated as such a great player, and he just misses the one throw, and he's no good. What is he, 21-5, 21-6 now as a starter in the NFL? One of the greatest winning percentages ever. Belichick wanted him, not just because Garoppolo's so great. He's very good, but because given Brady's age, how much longer is he going to be able to do it? So let's keep score. Was it Brady or Belichick? That's the age, that's the one of the great sports debates of this young century, right? Of the 21st century. One of the great sports debates is, was it more Belichick or Brady? I say Belichick. After week one, it was 1-0 Belichick. You might want to argue Brady tied it up. Belichick, after all, did not call the winning play. Did not add a wrinkle of deception, you would think. You know, but still, the Seattle's a better team than the Patriots. And the Patriots had a chance to win that basically on the goal line and just got stopped. Defense made a better play than the offense. But it came right down to it, and Cam looked fantastic. But for all those, oh, see, Brady and his receivers dropped a couple balls, would have been a couple extra touchdowns. You know what Brady was. Brady's job this year is to not get in the way. Like, don't give the other team 112 points, as Jameis Winston did last year. Don't give the other team 112 points off turnovers, 30 interceptions. And as long as you don't do that, they won 7 games last year. 7 games. If Brady just doesn't do that, if he even gives up half that, you know, like, instead of 30, throw 15 interceptions. Instead of 112 points, give up 60 off turnovers. You should win at least 9 games, and they'll be competitive for a playoff spot. I was expecting more from Brady against that secondary, and I was disappointed. I took him in daily fantasy. I was disappointed. His team won the game, but of course you're going to beat the Panthers. Of course you're going to beat the Panthers. He did not look great doing it. Dak Prescott, you know, his team was tough enough to stick around. Mike McCarthy, there's a reason the Packers moved on from him. And Mike McCarthy was supposed to do all the, I figured out now what I was doing wrong, and he was too much of a traditionalist, and he had to get with the stats and everything. So he makes curious decisions when to try to go for to go for two. and we don't have to do a postmortem of the whole game. It was not Mike McCarthy's finest hour. But in the end, you could, you know, rely more on the collapse of the Falcons. And usually, NFL, like all team sports, can be a game of runs. One team does good in the first half, the other team comes back. The bottom line is occasionally it does come down to a single play. All Atlanta had to do to win that game was not let Dallas recover an onside kick, which, by the way, are very difficult to recover given the rules today. And Keyshawn Johnson, who joins us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, you were on First Take today with trying to make heads or tails out of what the Falcons were thinking. I still don't know. What were they thinking when they just watched that football and let Dallas recover?
Were they thinking or not thinking?
All of them, though, Key? I understand one dude with a brain freeze. 6 dudes all had the same brain freeze?
Yeah, it looked like to me that they were trying to see if it was going to go 10 yards. If it would have went 10 yards, then they were going to jump on it. They waited too late, or they were waiting for it to dribble out of bounds. That's what it seemed like to me. Now, I can't think for them. Certainly a terrible mistake on their part, giving the Cowboys an opportunity to go right back down the field methodically, score, and put the game in their hands.
I thought Cam Newton looked sensational. I was a little surprised Belichick didn't dress something up a little differently on that last play. What is your thought? And Russell Wilson, as usual, will be in the MVP conversation. He is every year. Your thoughts on the Patriots and the Seahawks?
I thought it was a really good game, entertaining game. I do understand what Belichick was looking at, though. The defense gave him that particular look earlier in the game. Cam Newton plunged it in, touchdown. They gave him that same look again late in the game, only this time penetration from the defensive line collapsed everything, pushed everything into Cam's lap, and Cam couldn't get over the top or get around things. So I get what coach was looking at.
I know, I'm going to question Belichick. It just seems to me like that's the – like usually if it comes down to that kind of play, Belichick is better prepared than the other coach. He has a little wrinkle the other coach isn't expecting. And I'm just not used to seeing on, like, especially if the Patriots have the ball, right? I'm not used to seeing a Belichick team stopped in that situation. More often than not, they come up with it. They didn't come up with it you know, last night, but I think Seattle is going to come out of the NFC. They're an elite team. The Patriots so far look like they basically haven't lost to beat. What about the Packers, Key? They now have two divisional wins, and Aaron Rodgers is out there making the other quarterbacks in the division look like they're not in his class. You know, last year they won 13 games. He had a great touchdown interception ratio. He won a playoff game against the Seahawks, but it was first year in a system, LaFleur's system, the whole thing more run reliant. But Rodgers looked like he was slipping. He did not. Right now, he looks like he's out to prove some people wrong. What are your thoughts on Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay's chances this year?
I never thought he was slipping. The guy was 26-4 interception to touchdown ratio. 13-3 overall record, NFC championship game appearance with me's and you's out there playing receiver for him. So I don't know where anybody saw him slipping at.
Well, I mean, if it's me's, he's in he has a problem. But if it's you, Key, he's in good shape. Meantime.
Well, I mean, he has a Devontae Adams.
He does. That's the dude.
More so than I was talking about you.
There you go. That's the me's and you's. That's why you look at the receivers available and the fact that they drafted a quarterback in the first round. When if you could just put someone on the other side of Devontae Adams, you could win a Super Bowl. That looks like a Super Bowl contender to me right now. I got to be honest. Rodgers has me thinking they will be in contention. Meantime, Carson Wentz has me thinking he's part of the problem. And you know, listen, Dan Orlovsky, who I love analyzing football, just has a blind spot for Carson Wentz. Because I saw this last year at the end of the season, Key. Carson Wentz against a terrible NFC East won some games. Everyone was happy. But he kept making costly turnovers in the fourth quarter on third down. They were lucky to recover the ball. Like, game after game, I saw, wow, only like Mahomes and a few other dudes can make that play, followed by two or three. That was a bad decision. That was bad execution. Like, what's up with Carson Wentz? Now I'm hearing he changes Peterson's plays constantly. It's not that he doesn't want to win. He works hard. He's competitive. He's trying to be a better leader. All those things. He's not stupid. All those things. But I see just a continuation of what I saw last year so far, Key. Killer turnovers that breathe life into the other team. Now 0-2 behind play like that in two consecutive weeks. He's on the record as saying, we have weapons now. Like, what is going on with Carson Wentz?
Why did you say but? Right? Everything it comes down to a but. Look, the offensive line is in trouble. They haven't played that well. Carson Wentz hasn't played that well. Is he a starting NFL quarterback? Absolutely. Did he get paid sooner than what he probably should have gotten paid, which put the pressure on him as a player? Yes. Did they get overexcited because his rookie year they did something special, then all of a sudden, or is the second year they did something special, then Nick Foles takes over, they go to the Super Bowl, and everybody gives a large majority of that credit to Carson Wentz? Yes, that is all correct. But he hasn't fully developed as a quarterback just quite yet. And part of the reasoning is his ability to stay on the field. He got himself in a little bit of hot water there. So people look at that, with his attitude, sort of kind of like, what is he? What type of leader is he? Is he a real leader or is he a selfish football player? And when you're not winning and performing at a high level, despite losing, people look at that and they frown upon that. And so you can't blame the individuals that's out there saying what they're saying. Now, look, Dan Orlovsky, whatever he feels he's entitled to, and you can, you can't knock another man's opinion. You have opinions. I have opinions. The difference is between me and you and him is I don't believe us two just say anything to hope that it sticks to the wall.
Well, look, this is what I'll say. Dan has forgotten more football than I'll ever know. That's why I'm saying, I understand why Carson Wentz's talent could give you a blind spot to him, because he's very, very talented. But Key, when you, he is making the most costly turnovers possible, trying to force things that aren't there, all that. And you can't tell me you're drafting a quarterback in the second round when you could have used that pick that you took Jalen Hurts with to trade up and get the best receiver in the draft, right? To get this dude some weapons. You draft his, they needed depth in the backup quarterback. Really, with a second-round pick? To me, Key, they're looking to see if Carson Wentz is a long-term answer at quarterback. He's in his fifth season. He's not a second-year player. Fifth season with a $100 million-plus contract, and he's breathing life into teams that are dead in the water and losing games. I'm not sure he's going to stay the Eagles quarterback. I'll tell you the truth.
Well, he'll be the Eagles quarterback unless he gets hurt this year. Jalen Hurts is not ready to take over quite yet.
Right.
If the year doesn't go the way that they expected, you expect that there'll be some chatter about Carson Wentz, Jalen Hurts battle for starting spot next year. I don't think Carson Wentz is getting benched anytime soon. I don't think that's even in the cards. Yeah, they took a quarterback in the second pick in the, they took a quarterback in the second round pick, but that's more about insurance than it is anything with the idea of he could potentially be something special, and we have him in our back pocket if need be.
I'll tell you this. Here's my prediction. Unless Jalen Hurts is showing nothing in practice, you're going to see Jalen Hurts this year. This year, they can't go on like this.
Unless Carson Wentz gets hurt, you won't see Jalen Hurts. Remember, I told you this.
All right. Now, this is what I hear through the grapevine. Really on the snitch hotline. Go ahead, Raj. Just admit it. This is the snitch hotline.
Keyshawn.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Does not believe in Kyler Murray.
He said, you don't believe in Kyler Murray. No good. Is that true, Key?
That's not. Look, first of all, I've never said I don't believe in Kyler Murray. So don't allow Raj and that mess that he's putting out there to cloud your mind. What I don't like is I don't like Arizona's offense. Mm-hmm. Therefore, Kyler Murray's running the offense. I'm not a believer of the air raid system to win long-term in the National Football League. We hired Cliff Kingsbury to win a Super Bowl, not to put up gaudy numbers every week and lose games. No, that's not the case. Yes, they're 2-0. They beat up on a banged-up San Francisco football team, and they caught a Washington team that just looked like they forgot how to play football after week one. So give them the credit, they're 2-0. They've yet to run up on Seattle, a healthy Rams team, and a healthy 49ers team. We'll see what it is when they start getting in the meat of the schedule on some of these teams that they play. So, Raj, don't put the false narrative out there that I don't like Kyler Murray. I just don't like the system.
You know what Raj is? Raj is that kid who likes to start fights between two other people. He likes, yo, do you hear what he's saying about you? Raj, is this true? Did you give me bad information?
I wouldn't say bad information, but Keyshawn and I go back and forth on that in the past, and I like them. But Keyshawn, he's too short, too. He gets his balls batted down.
He's small for what I like in a quarterback. Doesn't mean I don't like it. Just for what I've always had and what I like in quarterbacks to run systems that I like. He couldn't run my system. I'm not looking for that. I'm looking for a guy that's 6'4". I'm looking for a 6'3". I'm looking for a 215-plus pounder. That's what I like. Doesn't mean that he can't play in this system in the NFL. Just means that I don't think that Bill Belichick would be playing Kyler Murray at quarterback. I just don't think that. There's only a couple coaches that would do that, regardless to what he looks like running around.
We have a couple minutes left. I want to switch to basketball because Anthony Davis hits the three
to
win the game.
Ain't nothing to talk about with you with basketball.
Because you
over there with that Marcellus Wiley Clipper mess.
I have to admit it. Here's a confession. I'm actually a Lakers fan. But I gave up my Knicks when I moved to L.A., and then now I'm back in New York. But I never stopped being a Lakers fan. And that's the team I always wanted to root for as a kid anyway, Magic and Kareem and all. Anyway, the point is, when you make a public prediction, like, hey, the Clippers are going to win it all this year, I thought the Lakers would win it next year, you start rooting for the prediction. You can't help it. So, you got me red-handed. I was rooting for my prediction. But I'm happy it didn't come true. I'm happy the Lakers are advancing. Key, my philosophy is this, and you have about 40 seconds to see whether you agree with this. I think if you're a big, whether you're Wilt Chamberlain, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, or Shaquille O'Neal, you need another dude who's not a big, who's just as good as you. Whether it's Jerry West or Magic Johnson or Oscar Robertson or Dwayne Wade or Kobe Bryant, you're not going to win without them. And AD has LeBron, and Giannis doesn't have that guy. So right now, AD is looking like you can't stop him, and Giannis is sitting home and watching. Your thoughts about AD's shot?
Different game with both of them. I personally think AD, when he's motivated, I think personally AD, when he's motivated, he's a different dude. Giannis, on the other hand, Giannis can't shoot like that, man. Giannis is in the paint guy who needs to develop that long-range distance shot that bigs are coming up with now. He can't do it on a consistent basis. And you are right. Most people have 2 and 3. They don't necessarily have to be big. They just can't be crossover guys, the same guy. Like Westbrook and Harden, That's not going to work. You need a Westbrook and then a something, or a Harden then a something. Right. Much like a Scotty and a Michael, you know, or a Shaq and a Kobe, which was a big. But then when you look at it, I think Anthony Davis is in a perfect situation. 2 years from now, he'll still be in a perfect situation because LeBron will still probably be playing.
Now, you know, my favorite part is that the Lakers are in the playoff since Kobe's tragic passing. And not only are they honoring him by making a push for the finals, but AD says Kobe when he shoots the game winner. I mean, how good is that? First year, like first time the playoffs roll around since then, and they're honoring Kobe's legacy like that. I'm like, Lakers fans are very happy about this moment.
And, well, of course. And, you know, I mean, LeBron more James, LeBron said it, Max, when everything happened, that he could put the weight on his shoulders. When they came back after Kobe's death, and we took off, I think, as you notice, I said we. I think we took off a day or two there, a game or two, and then we came back. And one of the things that LeBron said is that he's got a, you know, he could carry. If anybody could do it, he could put the weight on his shoulders, and which he clearly can and is showing up. Even if he's not as efficient last night as he normally would be, you could just tell that everything else rubs off on the rest of the team.
And now the only question is, where is Marcellus Key? He was very active on social media. Very active on social media until the Clippers lost, and haven't heard much from him since then. But you'll have to have him back on. Thank you, Keyshawn Johnson. The Monday Night Football Preview is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. The Saints win without Michael Thomas. You want me to say the Saints win without Michael Thomas tonight? Is that what you're saying?
I thought you would think the same thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. All right, I guess the segment's over already by the time I've done reading all that. Oh, there's more. Check out ESPN Audio at Home by telling Alexa to play news from ESPN. ESPN Audio at Home is brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. Mercedes-Benz Van, drive a Mercedes-Benz Van and find out how far an extra mile really goes. From customization and service to financial assistance, Mercedes-Benz Vans are ready for anything. What was the biggest story over the weekend? I mean, the one freshest in my mind is Cam versus Russell Wilson. Belichick, Pete Carroll, really, and also always Belichick, Brady, right? Because you're seeing how are they each doing without each other. The Cowboys beating the Falcons and the Falcons collapsing. You could even ask which was the bigger story in that game, Cowboys winning or the Falcons collapsing. So much. Carson Wentz looking awful again. A lot going on around the league. Aaron Rodgers looking great again. But certainly, look, Tom Brady going to the Bucs was the biggest story of the offseason. Was there a bigger story than that? The big player move at first was DeAndre Hopkins, Bill O'Brien trading DeAndre Hopkins for a bag of potato chips, and Kyler Murray now having DeAndre Hopkins instead of Deshaun Watson having him. But then Tom Brady going to the Bucs was bigger. It was pretty big that, to me, that Cam Newton, also anyone could have signed him for a couple million bucks, and he wound up with the Patriots, of course. But Brady going to the Bucs was huge. He brought Gronk with him, and Gronk might be the third best tight end on the team with Brayton O.J. Howard. Remember what a big deal O.J. Howard was coming out of college? And he's good. Godwin, and who didn't play yesterday, I get it, and Mike Evans, look, Brady, if you're good, you have a big receiver on the outside who can beat his man, or who can just too physically strong for the DB, Brady's going to hit him. That's the best thing he did in the game. Big deal. Of course, he's supposed to do that. Any quarterback could do that. They didn't win that game because of Tom Brady. They won it because of their defense and their running game. They signed Leonard Fournette a couple weeks ago. By the way, Fournette, they couldn't get anything for him in a trade, the Jags. They just picked him up and signed him, the Bucs. But he can still, because he can't catch passes and do all things, he can still get it going on the ground. And that's really how they won the game. Tom Brady is there to be a game manager who doesn't give the other team 112 points through interceptions the way Jameis Winston did. I was expecting much more against this banged-up Panthers secondary that's the least experienced in the league. Much more. Tom Brady after the game on his performance.
Execution was a little bit better. I think we still are a long ways from where we need to be. So it was, I think we have the ability to make plays. I think consistency, dependability are going to be things that we really need. So got to get back to work. And the clock's ticking on next week. So going to get focused on next week's game and try to be a lot better next week.
You don't get to be the greatest of all time without having that kind of attitude. And by the way, that should also help the culture in Tampa Bay. Having, like, Brady has value that way. No doubt about it. And he would have been a great quarterback wherever he went. But the fact that he's the GOAT is because he was with Belichick. That's the reason. Without Belichick, give Belichick Drew Brees. Even if you think, no, Brady's even better than Brees. Okay, what he would have won? Four instead of six? Five? Give him Aaron Rodgers. Well, Rodgers never would have lasted 20 years with Belichick. They would have rubbed each other the wrong way. Okay, so in 10 years, Rodgers would have won three or four. Brady's great, but he's old. He's past his prime. And I don't know that he's great. He's not great anymore. He's a solid NFL quarterback right now, which on a team like the Bucs means you may go to the playoffs. But his days of being elite have been over for a couple of years now. Max Kellerman Show is brought to you by Shell. Pennzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. I mean, what, Brady, give me 10 points in daily fantasy? Come on, Tom. I took you. Even at 6,500, I thought that was a little high. But I figured you're going to kill this secondary. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE5W30. Gordon Hayward helped the Celtics get a win.
Max, the podcast.
By the way, Raj, because I know there's some imaging here when as soon as I'm done talking, so I'm going to tell a little story first.
Right in the middle of the read. That's cool.
Right in the middle of the read. It's like I got it like that. So okay. I'm walking out of an airport. I think it was LAX one day, going back a bunch of years, and this dude stops me, and I don't recognize him. I'm like, wait, who's this dude? And it was Chuck D. And because Chuck D's like a normal sized person. But when you're a kid, you know, growing up listening to Public Enemy, like teenager and stuff, it's like Chuck D is larger than life. And he stopped me and knew me, I guess, from boxing or some show I was doing at the time. I don't know. But Chuck D, if you follow him like on Twitter, is like a baseball historian, a really interesting, smart guy. And, Rod, you know what? We need to get him as a guest on, now that I'm talking about it. Why don't we have Chuck D as a guest?
No, he follows me on Twitter because of you. And so, yeah, I'll reach out to him. But he's a big boxing guy, a baseball historian. He's into all the old school sports. Really smart guy. Good idea.
And it's like I once went with J.A. Adonde to one of these, like, lectures at NYU, I think. Maybe going back 15 years at least. And it was like a bunch of these old professors on stage talking about when I first heard the beat to Black Steel in the Hour of Chaos, like intellectualizing. I felt gripped by it. And they like have a whole symposium, and there's people there, and students are asking questions. I heard the rhythms of Black Steel in the Hour of Chaos. And they're breaking it down and everything and over intellectualizing it. There's a great song and everything, but Daniel, play that beat again, and then I'll finish the progressive read. Where's the beat? I want to hear Black. There it is. Come on. Come on! The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. $750 on average. Call or click today and find out if they could save you hundreds on your car insurance.
You heard First Take?
At least it's good to hear your voice finally, because I know on First Take, I only hear you on the intro and outro.
Now hear Max's last take.
I started out these playoffs, well, by the time we got to the conference finals, picking, I thought the Lakers would win in six. They were up 2-0, but I'm not counting the Nuggets out of winning a couple games. They almost won last night. Plumlee and Grant had a brain freeze or something and didn't guard AD. Maybe AD would have hit the shot anyway. Anyway, Heat and Celtics, I started out thinking Celtics in seven? Tough call. Really good teams. And by the way, even before this postseason started, I thought either one of these teams could go all the way. I was on Boston Radio doing promos for this show, the new Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio. So, you know, they have you do hits with local stations throughout the country. And the Boston guys, I thought the Celtics, their upside this year was, you know, the playoffs had just started or almost started. And I said, yeah, Celtics could go all the way this year. It's possible they could go all the way this year. But, and by the way, the Heat, I had a lot of respect for, too. I thought they could also do it, but I thought the odds were against it in either case. Anyway, really good matchup, even matchup. I thought, all right, I'll take the Celtics in seven. I'll take the Celtics in seven. Tatum is ascending at just the right time. And I thought they'd have Gordon Hayward back and Jaylen Brown and who am I missing? Kemba Walker. You have four all-star caliber players. And in Tatum, maybe a guy ascending even beyond just a normal all-star. And then also, Tice, I think, is an above-average starter. And he's their worst starter. Oh, and by the way, Marcus Smart, if you want to play your best five, Marcus Smart is playing instead of Tice. And you have a small lineup. And Marcus Smart is a money-on-the-line style player. And Brad Stevens is an excellent coach and all that. I thought Gordon Hayward would be available to them. He wasn't. He makes a difference, as you can see. A lot of the criticism that Gordon Hayward was in the lineup and he had just come back off injury a couple of years ago and how that was kind of stunting the development of the other forwards, I disagreed with. And if you talk to people around the Celtics, Brad Stevens felt they needed Hayward's passing in the starting lineup. He does a lot of things well, Hayward. Even Jaylen Brown talking about him, like, it's great to have another guy who can make plays for us. You don't need to call his number, you know? He can get his points in the flow of the game and help in a variety of ways. Now that the Celtics are at full strength, now I like the Heat. And the reason is they're up 2-0. You know, I think if the Celtics had Hayward from the beginning, I believe that it would be a knotted series. But they didn't. I like the Heat in seven now. I like the Celtics in seven. I now like the Heat in seven. I have 1 minute, so I guess that's not really enough time to take a call, is it, Raj?
I think you can sneak in one. Tell them quick.
Rick in Chattanooga, you're on the Max Kellerman Show. Go. Rusty in Michigan, you're on the Max Kellerman Show.
Max.
Yes, Russ.
Max. I'm big trauma show. I just want to touch on, I think AD is upgraded his Robin costume to a Batman costume.
Yeah, well, no, it's Batman and Batman. I think LeBron knows if he wants to win a chip, AD's got to be the MVP, and that's what LeBron plans on.
Thanks for listening to the Max Kellerman Show. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.